Welcome to Down the Garden Path. I'm your host, Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and plant lover. I enjoy discussing down-to-earth tips and advice to help you seasonally manage your garden and landscape. And I also aim to bring you interesting and relevant topics to educate you all about the landscaping and horticultural industry. Welcome to Down the Garden Path. We are learning about flower farming today here on the show with Nick and Hillary Vanderhyde with Creekside Growers. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
I'm excited to learn about their flower farming journey that started in 2009 on a farm in little known Ontario hamlet called Hartford, just outside of Hamilton. And as I said, I'm a Welland Niagara region girl. So, you know, between here, Pickering and there. And it has certainly evolved, including your move to Delhi. So tell us a little bit how it all started. Hillary, you go ahead.
Sure. Well, we got married in 2008 and quickly started our little family. And Nick had a construction company and he was away from home a little bit too much. So he decided to pursue something on our small acreage. So I think we had, what, about 5-6 acres in Hartford. And we thought peonies would be a good place to start because I grew up in Niagara Lake with my parents who grew peonies. So we planted peonies in 2009 with help from our little guy at the time and my parents. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. Nick loved growing things. We tried, you name it, we probably tried it.
Okay.
Right? Zinnias, callas, lilies, glads, sunflower, you name it. We've probably tried it and we kind of fell into dahlias and absolutely loved them.
Excellent. We did the old McDonald flower farm for a little while. That's what I call it, old McDonald flower farm. You got a little bit of everything. You got zinnias and sunflower and kale and lilies and dahlias and peonies. And we weren't exactly specialized. And then after about 2 years of doing that, and it was really overwhelming. So we just kind of pared it down to peonies and dahlias, and that really took off. I think there was only really maybe a few little dahlia growers growing commercially at that time.
Okay.
And the market was ready for them. Mm-hmm. They were becoming popular, and yeah, we just kind of ran with it.
Oh, that's great. And then that caused the move to like a bigger property.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. When we were still in Hartford, we were renting pieces of land here and there, you know, traveling on a quad to these pieces of acreage. And it was, yeah, not as efficient as having your own large piece.
Right.
So we found this great place in Delhi with 25 acres. Little bits in bush, a little bit has obviously our house and barns.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, we started with our first greenhouse.
Excellent. And how big is the greenhouse, Nick?
The first iteration, which we put up in the summer of 2021, was 28,000 square feet. And now we just completed a 30,000 square foot addition this winter.
Oh, wow. So you more than doubled. Yeah,
58,000 square feet.
Yeah. And I love the mix of you choosing to do peonies and dahlias because it extends your season, right?
Yeah,
because the dahlias, you know, I think that's a perfect mix.
Yeah, peonies and dahlias make a lot of sense because, for a number of reasons. The vast majority of flowers that are sold in Ontario are actually sold in Canada are imported from Central America. There's a lot of, like, we have a lot of flower growers in Ontario and in Canada, but still the vast majority are imported. But peonies, you can't grow in Central America because they need to have their cold period to actually bloom. And dahlias, you can grow there, but you can't ship them from there to here because the flowers that they grow in Central America, they're all the kind of flowers that you can cut in a, when they're in bud stage, and you can ship them dry in boxes. And then when they show up here, they give them a trim, they hydrate them, and then they bloom. And okay. dahlias need to be shipped wet and like in water and fully open because dahlias only open very, very little after you've cut them. So they're a short distance cut flower.
Yeah. So that was very good business planning.
Yeah. I mean, part of it was falling into it, but part of it was just, it did make sense. Mm-hmm. Those two things. Mm-hmm. And they're not at the same time either.
Right.
Like peonies, we get to get all the dahlias planted out in the field. Then we go and we harvest all the peonies. Then we go and take care of the dahlias for a little bit, start cutting those, and then finish off our season with the dahlias. So it works really well.
Yeah, definitely. Because that is one of the sad things about peonies is the season is kind of short. You know, clients, like, I always try to put one peony in clients' gardens. And, you know, I'm like, everybody should have one. I know it's only 2 weeks if it doesn't rain. But, you know, everybody should have one. Or there's the people who must have one because it was their grandmother's. Or, Amy, I think that's the one cool thing about peonies is they last a long time. You know,
we moved to that Hartford house. It was an old farmhouse, and there was a peony plant in the middle of the field, middle of the yard. We ended up splitting that sucker into, I think, a dozen new plants, and they were absolutely stunning. And who knows how old that plant was originally?
Yeah. No, it's a lot of clients over the 10 years I've been doing, well, a lot, the radio show, but 18 years designing, every season there's a handful of clients that have that, you know, or are about to receive it, you know, that type of thing for peonies. So I think that's a lovely touch. But the fact that, you can focus on peonies and then and then go to dahlias. And I think, you know, they're Instagrammable. So I think you can thank Instagram too, because peonies and dahlias are just so beautiful to photograph, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that has introduced a new generation to flowers, which I think is another a good thing.
Yep.
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, we often have people that will tell us that they're buying dahlias for the first time because they remember their grandma growing dahlias.
Yeah.
It seems like there was a little bit of a skip in generations when it comes to interest in gardening. There's a lot of, you know, under 40-year-olds now that are interested in gardening that buy quite a lot of dahlias from us. And then there's a lot of 65 plus that are into gardening and buy a lot of dahlias from us. That in between, like, they're still there. Yeah. Maybe it's because they're busy, whatever, but they I don't know, they lost the interest for a little while, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a resurgence in it, for sure.
Yeah. I think so. And I think I worked at a flower shop for at the start of my business. You know, it was always good to do something else and extend your season. And I think if more people realize where those flowers come from, like how far. And I think that's also a resurgence, is people realizing the carbon footprint too of importing everything. When we do have a growing ability here, and we've got the soil, we have the space, and you can do so much more now with the greenhouse also.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that is very good. So let's talk a little bit more about dahlias. So you have, we talked a bit before the show, but for our listeners, what is the dahlia season and how much do you plant? Nick.
Well, our with the greenhouse now, our dahlia season is about mid-April. So we start seeing our dahlias blooming in the greenhouse then.
Okay.
Mid-April till about July, and when we cut them down so that they will bloom again for us in the fall in the greenhouse. And then our outdoor crop is available July until about second week of October.
Okay.
So really for us, we have dahlias from mid-April to mid-November.
And the fact that you have a second bloom on them, that must be huge, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. With dahlias, especially grown in the greenhouse, we find that the plants become, if you've got a growing season that April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, those plants get very big and very unruly with that length of a growing season. So we cut back the dahlias in July in the greenhouse.
Okay.
So that they grow again for later on in the fall. That's one of the neat things about dahlias is like, even with, outside, you can stage your timing of your flowers by cutting back your plants.
Okay. Yeah. Cause they can, as one of the, for new growers, they often say, cause I'm not a fan of staking, like anything you have to stake. Right. So a lot of new growers, you know, find that they get leggy, they get bigger than they expected, they get taller, and they've got all the stakes and the peony hoops around them. But that doesn't have to be the case, right? If they prune them and kind of, they would have a better luck growing them.
Yep.
Yeah, that is good to know. And you had mentioned 400,000 tubers.
Yes. That's a huge number.
Yes, that is a huge number. I know you were saying, you know, acreage is one thing, when you say that, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And fortunately, Nick is quite, he's an efficient farmer, I'd say, mm-hmm. Has designed a planter. So fortunately, this is not all hand dug and planted. This is, okay. We use a planting machine that Nick developed.
Okay.
So it takes four of us on there, one driving the tractor, three of us on the machine.
All right.
And it's all done in one pass. Wow. So
that is cool, Nick.
The trench is dug, the tubers are laid, fertilizer and drip tape are placed in there, and it's covered over again.
Okay.
So
What about the pruning you mentioned, Nick? Like, is that all done by hand, or do you have a machine for that too?
So if it's outside, we just would go along and pinch things back. So if we want to time the blooms differently, then let's say we have four beds of a variety called Boom Boom White, for example, and okay. let's say we want to stagger when they start blooming, then when they're at the 6 to 8 true leaves stage, we'll just go along and pinch out that growing tip on half of them, let's say. So then on the other half, your first bud is your terminal bud. That's your main bud that comes out of the main stalk of the stem. But then about a week after the terminal bud blooms on those other ones, then all of the side shoots that came up from the ones you pinched, those ones start blooming. So it can kind of stagger that. And then as far as pruning, like we cut flowers every single day. So we're hacking back at our plants all summer long. Okay. And we take long stems, like we'll cut 36 inch long stems out of the plant. And then they don't get out of control because we cut them.
Right. So in addition to you, both of you, how many staff do you have to help?
10.
10? Okay.
It fluctuates throughout the season, but I'd say 10 is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Right now, we've only got one full-time person and a few part-time people working in the greenhouse, splitting tubers, packaging, doing stuff like that. But in the summertime, it's a little, the field's not nearly as efficient as the greenhouse. So you need more people to get the same amount of work done.
Right. Right. And what are your plans for the new, Nick, what's the plans for the new addition of the greenhouse? Just more dahlias or?
Yeah, it's all planted with, it's all planted with dahlias.
Already?
It's all planted.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. And temperature, are you trying to mimic the outside temperature control?
So like right after we plant, you can let the greenhouse get really, really hot. So we maintain a 22 degrees minimum temperature, 22 Celsius. But then if it's sunny out, we just let it get as warm as it gets. And then when they're out of the ground, 6 or 8 inches, then we'll slow that growth down a little bit by bringing the temperature back down. Because this time of year, you're always playing a balancing act between temperature and light. and we don't have quite enough light right now to really push them fast. If you push them too fast and you don't have enough light, it's like what people do with their dahlias in the house. They'll take them and put them in the window and warm them up and get them going, but they don't actually have enough light. So they get really stretchy and leggy, and then they put them in their garden and they fall over because they grew them in less than ideal conditions.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. And you also ventured, Hillary, into reading about the Flower Shack.
Yes, that was a 2020 Ooh, addition okay. to our farm. So that, I want to say that May 2020, we thought, okay. you know what, we're going to see if the community wants to buy peony bouquets. And we had this, literally this little shack on our property that we emptied out, put a flooring in, used, I think, 10 gallons of white paint, and turned it into the little flower shack. And it's been super well received by the community. I've gotten into now weddings and events, and it's just been fantastic. So oh, I'm open from about Easter to Christmas.
Oh, that's good. So this is your little bit of a break, but
this is my little break. Our four kids still keep me busy this time of year, but I'm already starting to plan for Easter and getting excited to open up the shack again.
Oh, that is wonderful. And are you still homeschooling the kids, Hillary?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
So, we've got one in grade 9, grade 8, grade 6, and grade 4.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're fairly independent.
Yes.
And they do learn a lot here on the farm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would say they probably learn more, right? Real life experience and, you know, the science alone that you have at the, I mean, even what you must have learned, Nick, of learning all of that biology that goes into growing plants, right? There's a lot of science behind it.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're always dirty in the summer and getting their hands in the dirt. It's good for them.
I agree. I think so.
There's a lot of practical knowledge that you gain from growing up on a farm, from running a farm. We're always talking about growing, business, fixing things, building things. And the kids are always involved in it because it's not just a me thing. It's a Hillary and me thing. So it's not uncommon to be sitting around the dinner table with everybody and we're chatting about whatever to do with the business, whatever to do with the farm, and the kids are participating in that. So it's cool.
Yeah, because you're living and working in the same space. It's not like work is some, you know, like my husband working downtown Toronto, right? Like it's some abstract thing downtown. You know, this is different. You're all a part of it. So I think that is great.
Well, it's great some of the time. Most of the time, Hillary just feels like putting her hands around my neck. But
that's only sometimes.
Only sometimes. Sometimes. Well, my husband recently retired, so I completely relate, Hillary.
Yeah. It wasn't there. He first started being at home 24/7 back in 2009.
Yeah, it's a learning curve. Yeah.
But we make it work.
Yeah, you definitely do. So those additional dahlias, where do you, you know, you can't go to the corner store and buy, you know, 400,000 or 200,000 more dahlias. So why don't you tell us about that process and new varieties, you know. Nick, where did you get the new volumes, or when you need to import? Well, are you importing? Are you?
So we gave up importing 2 years ago when we built the greenhouse.
Okay.
Now, if we want new varieties, we buy them from small growers and we will propagate them from cuttings. So we already have cuttings right now growing in the greenhouse. We actually have cuttings growing that we started last October. We took a visit to a farm in Washington. I'd call them friends of ours now after that visit. And we brought back some varieties from them that we really wanted that were harder to get a hold of. And we just, we start them January, February, and we take cuttings all spring long and we root them in plug trays and then we plant them outside and then they make more tubers.
Right.
So we harvest that we it starts in January. What we harvest in October starts growing in the greenhouse in January. And that way, so from a tuber that you put in the ground, you can get, you know, three good divisions, sometimes five, but you know, depends on the variety and how well it produces tubers. From one single tuber, you can get 15 cuttings. So you can reproduce your stock a lot faster with cuttings. So that's our process now. We don't do a lot of importing at all. Mm-hmm. We just buy small amounts, and it takes a little bit longer, a couple of growing seasons, but we have more control over it.
Yeah.
We don't have to rely on, not that relying on Holland is bad. Both Hillary and I are of Dutch extraction. And so, you know, we've got roots there and connections there, but we don't have to rely on getting stuff from the other side of the world anymore.
For sure. And you're in control of everything, you know, so it's not only the distance, it's, you know, you're not in control of the weather there, like we talked a bit about, and any shipping issues that might arise, both on the other country or even Canada, right? Sure. But there's all those extra worries. So now you've really kind of not made the process simpler, but you've eliminated some worries. Yes. Do you find when picking new varieties and things, Hillary, do you find you get feedback from or seeing people at the flower shop like really prefer a certain type of a certain color? Does that Absolutely. Is that another way that benefits you as far as what you grow?
For sure. I feel like I'm a little more tuned in now, knowing what brides want even 2 years from now, right?
Right.
Kind of getting some insight on what's going to be trendy. So yeah, getting insight that way. Also, I'm trying to think. Nick and I have different preferences of what we like.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That's always interesting too, and kind of a fun and little bit of a competition, right? I'll be like, I really want this yellow one with red. And he goes, yellow and red are ugly. And I said, well, get it. See if anyone else likes it. And then it kind of becomes this little bit of a game where it's like, see, somebody else bought it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of neat that both of us have, you know, insight into that, and we can pick and choose what we like. And
That's good. Are all varieties pretty much grown the same way? Or do you find, like, some are trickier than others?
Oh, there's definitely a wide variation among dahlias. You can have dinner plate dahlias that have a bloom the size of your computer screen and stems that are, you know, they stand 5 or 6 feet tall. You can also have dahlias that are, a bloom that's, you know, an inch or two across that only stands maybe a foot high. And so there's, and everybody's got their different preferences, and some people want great big showy ones. Other people want just to cover their garden. And then there's differences in how well tubers store, how well they reproduce their tubers. We've got some varieties that are really tricky. They don't grow very nice tubers and they don't store very well. We've got other ones that they grow like a bowling ball every year in the ground and you've got tons of tubers off them. So it really, there's over, I want to say there's over 35,000 different variety of dahlia. And people are, I'm constantly getting emails from people. Have you seen this one? Can you get this one? Do you know where to get them all? Yeah. Because everybody has their preferences of, they're always looking for something. And for us, it's like, oh man, how do we even start to serve all these people when there's like literally 30, 40,000 different varieties kinds out there?
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to know that they're not all created equal though, like that in the sense of growing them, that you've got to, you know, they're a little bit different. So.
Well, and for Hillary in the flower shack, the nice thing is we know which ones last as cut flowers, because not all dahlias last as cut flowers.
Yes.
Like if you get into a more of a ball type variety, it lasts a lot longer as a cut flower. But if you go with a dinner plate, that's a big decorative frilly thing, you might cut it and it wilts the same day.
Yeah.
So there's a big variation in what's good for cutting.
Yes.
And we grow lots of stuff for cutting. And we actually don't sell a lot of for tubers because people don't really want them in their gardens, but because they think they're kind of boring or whatever, just a solid orange or just a solid yellow. But then we grow other ones that are big dinner plates or whatever, and they have their variegated and different colors in the bloom, and the gardeners really want those ones, but a florist doesn't want that because it doesn't last and because they have a harder time designing with it because there's multiple colors in one bloom.
Right. Different shades.
Different people use dahlias for different things. And the nice thing about Hillary helping with the farm before she started the flower shack is that she really knew what was a good cut flower before really venturing into that consumer space.
Yeah. Do you sell wholesale as well as retail, or
that's primarily our business is primarily wholesale.
Wholesale. Okay. So the flower shack is the retail.
Yeah. We ship Creekside Growers ships to wholesalers in Southern Ontario that distribute from Thunder Bay to PEI and down to South Carolina.
Wow.
That's as far as the product ends up.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've done a lot with the business is we've really diversified. So between, and part of that is just a risk management thing. Like we used to be one season, summertime, outdoor cut flowers. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, if something goes wrong, if you got a 12 or 14 week season, if something goes wrong, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Then we diversified into selling tubers retail online.
Okay.
And then Hillary started the flower shack retail direct to local people. From that, she grew into doing more weddings and working with event spaces. We also put the greenhouses up and started propagating our own dahlias, as well as cutting dahlias for wholesale out of the greenhouse. And we also produce tubers for the wholesale market. So we have resellers that buy our tubers, repackage, and they might end up in Canadian Tire or Costco or wherever.
Yeah.
So it's pretty diverse. And Hillary kind of downplays it. She says the shack is closed right now. But the shack is closed. But I mean, last weekend she was meeting with two brides. The weekend before that, she was meeting with a couple of brides.
Yeah.
She spent most of the day yesterday doing quotes for weddings and events. And then she's got four kids that are pulling at her all the time.
Yeah.
Making a mess of the house, and she's still got to make sure she doesn't kill them while she's trying to homeschool them.
Yes.
So she's pretty big. And then there's me. I mean, I got all broken up in a big accident 2 years ago.
Oh no. Okay.
And I was in the hospital for quite a long time. She's running back and forth to the hospital and then taking care of me after I come home and changing all these dressings and everything like that. And then I had to have another surgery this past fall, and she's running me all over the place because I can't drive anywhere.
Oh no. So life happens while you're running a business, right?
Well, man, and she keeps it going. I just walk out to the greenhouse and then I come back inside and the kids are fed and clothed and there's dinner, and I'm like, wow, look at that. And the house is clean. And she's quoted three weddings.
Yeah. And do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy that more creative side, Hillary?
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I didn't know it was all in me, to be honest. I have a Bachelor of Education and I used to be a kindergarten teacher before we homeschooled. And I've always loved flowers. My mom definitely encouraged that. And my mom's still a huge gardener. And so I was always playing with flowers as a kid too. And this just is more fun, right? And I love meeting the brides. I love seeing their ideas. I love playing with new flowers. And it's, I love it.
What's the trend you're seeing for weddings? Are they giving up their hydrangeas and they're wanting more? Like, because obviously you don't.
To be honest, brides, they come with a vision. Often it's off Pinterest or something they've seen somewhere. They don't often know a lot about flowers. They just know colors, right? They're like, I love this color. You know flowers. This is my inspiration. And this year we're finding a lot of that, the dusty blue and the sage green and emerald, and the color of the year is peach. So you'll see that in the summer brides.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do find Pinterest allows brides to have all different kinds of ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of fun. You're never doing the same one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I
I mean,
love.
I think back to mine, you know, and I liked the color purple, so I wanted irises.
Right.
So that was my
And did you get
bouquet.
married the right time of year?
I did, but I have to say that bouquet was so heavy that
Uh-huh.
literally, because you know, they're heavy, like there's a
Yes.
lot of stem. So my in all our photos, it's both my husband and I holding it. And even then, I don't it broke, like the handle broke. Like it was they were not appropriate for a wedding bouquet. But hey, I same thing, you know, 22, didn't know what I just liked purple and I liked irises.
Yeah.
But that is true. It's funny because now that I know about flowers, you think everybody kind of knows, but they know more of the look. Of
Yes.
what they want. And so that is interesting. And that's great for you to be able to educate them or you know, just make them aware of what options at that color or what options in this style that they have available to them, because that's exciting.
For
That
sure. And
is
being in
very
the
exciting.
industry and growing up with flowers, it's just there, right?
Yeah.
It's second nature.
Yeah. And I think I read about a pick your own. Now, do you have an area that you let people come and pick their own?
We do. So that was a new addition last year. So
Okay.
for the months of August and September, we have quite a large section of the field for you cut dahlias. So it is all dahlias or dahlias, whichever
Dahlias.
you're going to say. And last year was the first year and it was really well received. We had quite a number of people through
Okay.
available. What did we make it available?
August to September from noon till 5, I think,
I think it was
last
Monday through
year.
Saturday, or was it?
Yes, Monday through Saturday.
So
Yeah.
Monday through
Okay.
Saturday. So Sundays were closed. That's our family day. And so they could either purchase a mason jar to fill up or a black pail essentially to fill up. And
Okay.
they got their clipper. So we provided everything. You really just had to show up.
Okay.
And they would go out to the field. You're welcome to take photos. You're welcome.
Some people brought a picnic lunch.
Yep, you're welcome to have a little lunch in
Just hang out in
there.
the field.
So that was
Wow.
kind of the first year we wanted to get a feel for things, see how it was received. This year we are hiring an event coordinator and hoping to run a few more events in the field,
Okay.
just to allow people to experience the farm, right?
Yeah. Now, whose idea was cut your own?
Definitely Hillary's.
Okay.
I didn't want a whole world on our property.
I could see that coming, but yeah, because I mean, there's downside to that, right? There's a bit of risk there, so it's obviously a special, like you know, they're not walking all through your everywhere, right? You've got to have
That's
got
right.
them in
So
a
it had
controlled
to be
area.
planned ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yes. It was definitely something I've been kind of bugging Nick and putting the bug in his
Ah,
ear for a little while. And
yes.
finally he was like, okay, I think if we plant strategically and section off this part of the field, we can do this.
Okay.
We can do
Yeah.
this. And I said, okay. And they went so well that we're gonna do it again.
Oh, good. 'Cause yeah, it's one of those things that you build it and like, are they coming? Like, are they going to show up or
Right.
not? Right. And
Yeah.
so that's good to know that people showed up.
So it was nice because I already had the shack and there was a lot of customers already that said, well, can I go for a walk in the field? And prior to this, it was like, no, we can't just let you wander our field. We need it for our
Yeah.
wholesale cut flowers. Employees are out there, but right. And the way we've designed it now, it works great.
Oh, that is wonderful. Excellent. I'm gonna have to make a drive out there. So that so
Absolutely.
I love
It's
doing that.
totally worth
So
it.
yeah. Now tell me a bit about the bloom box. So that's another thing I noticed on your website. And I think it's a great idea. So how did that idea come about? I'm assuming Hillary or
See, everyone assumes that, but I feel like this one is one of Nick's brainchild.
Yeah, was that yours, Nick?
Yeah, I deal with most. I deal with our tuber customers,
Okay.
so that's kind of my end of the business. We there's a lot of things that we do together, but when it comes to customers, if they're wholesale cut flower, wholesale tubers, or retail tubers, they're my customers. If they're Flower Shack, You Cut,
Wedding.
and weddings and events, those are Hillary's customers.
Wonderful.
So I have I oh and the people on social media, that's all Hillary. I
Oh,
don't
okay.
I don't respond to Facebook and Instagram. So the Bloom Box was a result of a lot getting a lot of questions about which ones grow well, how do I fertilize, you know, just kind of a people wanting more than just buying a tuber and putting it in the ground. They wanted more of like a package, something mm-hmm. that would fill out a decent size piece of their garden. And so that was, we kind of, between the two of us, obviously, we kind of brainstormed what that was going to look like, what was going to go in it, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, I sat down for a day and designed that the really cool box that it comes in, started putting together promotions for it. And the actual name was given to us by one of our employees. She's a friend of ours who's working for us right now. And I said, hey, this is what we're going to do. What do you think? And come, just start firing names off. And we were back and forth by text, and she was firing off names, blah, 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 this one, that one. Yeah. And none of them really stuck. And then she said, what about the bloom box? And I'm like, oh, that's good. I like the bloom box.
Yeah.
And so we ran with it. Really, it was kind of one of those things that I could actually get done this past fall while I was laid up and not able to go anywhere.
Right. Okay. So you're healing? A little side question, but you're healing.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. No, it was a successful surgery. The surgeons were super happy. I'm really happy with the outcome. Still dealing with pain and just getting back to normal ability to walk, but
that's good.
That went really, really well.
Yeah, so something positive came out of that from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, so. We've said something positive has come out of like you have to look at your adversities and if you mm-hmm. don't try and get something positive out of them, they're just not they're just adversity. What's the point?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
if you can get something positive out of adversity, man, that's where you've really succeeded. And yeah. We get it every year. There's always adversity in farming.
There is. Well, even that's anything that's horticultural, I think, because, you know, there's so much that we're not in control of, and mostly the weather, insects, you know, which relates to weather, that type of thing. So the bloom box, so there'll be more on in our show notes about your bloom box, but it not only, I want to just recap what's in it. So not only like easier to grow, tubers
that we've been really happy with as far as the flowers, the plants, and the amount of tubers that they grow and how well they store. So that's the one thing we pick varieties that are good that way. We actually, get a fertilizer produced by our local AgriMart that it's what we use to grow with. It's a granular fertilizer. And everybody always asks, what do I fertilize with? What do I fertilize with? Mm-hmm. Well, this way, here you go. This is what you fertilize with. It's a really good starter fertilizer for getting them going. There's a pair of clippers. We with everybody running around like crazy in the field, and man, we would go through clippers left, right, and center. And we used to love Falcos, but Falcos cost you $75. And if people are losing them, that's a problem. So we did a bunch of trialing some clippers, and these ones we found to be very good and cost effective. Mm-hmm. So we threw a pair of clippers in. What else is? Oh, some plant tags. Everybody wants to know what, you know, when they plant, they want to know what's this going to look like. And you take a piece of cardboard or something like that, and then the rain gets rained on and it doesn't work. So these are some really nice stainless steel and copper that you can write on and mark all your dahlias. And then there'll be some growing instructions, and I think that's it.
Oh, good idea. And that'd be a great shout out to Mother's Day, right? Like that's a perfect thing to, you know, it's a great to buy for yourself, but it's always a great gift to buy for someone else. Hint, hint, all the people out there, right? So that is good. And I have to confess, I have never grown them. Like, you know, I was kind of, because I grow plants, you know, my neighbor Cheryl was, you know, asking my advice and things. So you kind of have me, you know, I'm going to try, I think I'm going to, the other challenge is because of what I do for a living too, right? I don't have as much time, you know, like I start seeds every March and February and April, and then they die in June because I, you know, the phone starts ringing and I'm busy in other people's gardens. So I always have good intentions and I always have things I want to do. And that was one of them too, was to do that. So yeah, I'm not ready to slow down to put others, you know, so I'm looking forward to trying, but it's always a challenge, you know, just trying to do both, right? Spend time in other people's gardens and helping them with theirs. Unfortunately,
one of the nice things about dahlias is that if you, you know, everybody's good intentions usually start when it starts to warm up in spring. And if you take those dahlia tubers and you mix that fertilizer in the ground and you put those tubers in the ground, you can kind of leave them alone.
Ooh, okay.
They don't require a pot. Like for most of Canada, it never gets dry. Like unless we went through a major drought, mm-hmm. natural rain is generally enough for you to grow a decent plant and have some nice blooms on it. And if you really want to, I guess you can tie them up to something like a stake or a fence. A lot of people plant them along a fence and just run a string around them. But for the most part, if you just want to fill up an area in your garden with some nice, you know, decent sized plants that flower, these are kind of dummy proof. As long as they don't get soaking wet or your dog continually pees on them or something yeah. like that.
Yeah.
You'll be doing pretty all right.
Well, that is good to know. That is very good to know. And I just think it was a great idea to do that. And no pests. So since we're talking about them dummy proof, no real pest or disease that we have to be concerned about.
I do say that if it flies or hops, it eats dahlias.
Oh, okay.
So there are definitely pests. A lot of people don't bother with them because dahlias are pretty vigorous. You'd have to have quite the infestation to actually do major damage to a plant. Soapy water has been my go-to for a lot of things. It suppresses powdery mildew, which is what you deal with in the fall with a lot of it. Soapy water. We use Dawn soap, a 1% solution, and it takes care of the vast majority of bugs, and it takes care of a lot of disease problems like fungal problems.
Okay.
Because it's just like washing your plants.
Yeah.
Keeping it. You clean. Spray that in the evening, so the sun can't burn the plants through the soapy water. And if somebody did that once every week or two, the vast majority of problems that can crop up in dahlias will be mitigated.
Good to know. That's another great tip.
Soapy water works on almost all plants
for
powdery mildew and bugs. Like it really does. It's an old remedy that a lot of people have kind of forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Just not in the sun, like you said, right? No, like the people that leave their sprinklers on in the sun.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all your leaf margins are all burnt, and you're wondering why. Well,
yeah,
that's the reason why. It's a magnifying glass.
Yeah, exactly. So as we wrap up, is there anything else you have to promote or you want to talk about? People can follow you on social media, which I'll have all in the show notes.
Yeah, we're on Facebook and Instagram. We've got a website, and you're welcome to come visit the farm then. Mother's Day on is like I'm open full time, and then really to visit the dahlia fields, August, September are beautiful.
Wonderful. Beautiful time to come. Excellent. Well, thank you. And thank you for teaching me more about dahlias. They are beautiful. And I have been one of those people that have bought them as cut. And then basically by the time I left the room and came back, they wilted. So I will do some more understanding of which ones are better.
So one thing with regard to cut dahlias before we wrap it up, a little bit of bleach in the water. Just a little bit, like a half a teaspoon in a regular size vase. it makes a significant difference on how long the blooms last.
Good to know. That's a good little tip. In the water. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me on Down the Garden Path. I really enjoyed it, and I'll let you know. Yeah, so thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.